ובעל הסולם עמוד 177 עוד נונטט
אנחנו עד שמונה, כן? לומדים עד שמונה
we're going till 8, right?
השעון הפנימי שלי הוא מסודר
my internal clock is no, okay no, good, nevertheless, פתיחה פתיחה, and then we'll do Zohar and other things.
We are in the writings of Baal HaSulam, the preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah, reading from item 59. This association of Malchut in Bina occurred in Parzuf Sag of Ak, and prompted a second Tzimtzum in the worlds from itself down. This is because a new Siyum on the upper light was made on it in Bina's place. It follows that the ending Malchut, which stood at the Siyum Raglaim of Sagovak, above the point of this world, rose and ended the upper light at half of Bina of Guf of Sagovak, called Tiferet. Since Kachab of Guf is called Chagat, thus Tiferet is Bina of Guf. Also, the mating Malchut, which stood at the Pe of Rosh of Sag of Ak, rose to the place of Nikve Naim of Ak, which is half of Bina of Rosh. Then, a Zivuk for the Ma of Ak was made there, at the Nikve Naim, called the World of Nikudim. We'll read again, 59. This association of Malchut in Bina occurred in Parzuf Sag of Ak and prompted a second Tzimtzum in the worlds from itself down. This is because a new Siyum on the upper light was made on it in Bina's place. It follows that the ending Malchut, which stood at the Siyum Raglaim of Sag of Ak, above the point of this world, rose and ended the upper light at half of Bina of Guf of Sagavak, called Tiferet, since Kachab of Guf is called Chagat. Thus, Tiferet is Bina of Guf. Also, the mating Malchut, which stood at the Pe of Rosh of Sagovak, rose to the place of Nikve Naim of Ak, which is half of Bina of Rosh. Then, a Zivug for the Ma of Ak was made there, at the Nikve Naim, called the World of Nikudim.
Questions? Anything that belongs to this matter, please.
Where is the ending Malchut that stands at this, the ending of the Raglaim, of Siyum Raglaim of Sagovak?
The concluding Malchut that stands at the end of Sagovak is in the general Siyum. That's where it's located, and it rose upwards and concluded in the middle of Tiferet of Nekudot of Sag.
Where is then Sagovak? What Sagovak?
Sag de'ak includes also Nekudot of Sag. Here we're talking about Nekudot of Sag and not Sag itself. Sag itself is only its tamim, where it doesn't belong to the spreading, expanding below the table. More?
I want to understand in simple words that the association of Malchut and Bina, what does that mean?
The mitigation of judgment with mercy. Judgment is our will to receive, our ego, because it wants only for itself. And it cares about nothing except for that. Now, if this will to receive exists, appears in the created being in its true form, it's called judgment. Because then the creature cannot receive the upper light. Because the upper light spreads through the creature according to the law of equivalence of form. And there is no equivalence between the will to receive. In order to receive, called judgment, and the upper light, which is mercy. That works in order to bestow. Meaning they expand into one another, connect into one another according to the equivalence of forms, of qualities, the nearing of the intentions. If they don't have a tendency to bestow to one another, they cannot clothe in one another. That's it. That's why the upper light cannot clothe in the will to receive in order to receive. And that's why in this state we say that the will to receive, there's judgment dwelling on the will to receive limitation.
So he says the association of Malchut of Bina that brought about the Sag of Ak and also the restriction of Malchut and Bina. Can you simplify this? Because this is all the wisdom of Kabbalah, right?
That's the foundation of corruption and the correction. This is the middle point of the whole wisdom of Kabbalah.
Can you open it a little bit? It's Rosh Hashanah now. It seems like it's completely abstruse.
You have the ability to talk more in Rosh Hashanah, I think.
Everyone is kind of half drunk.
The Creator has a problem. Listen. He also has problems. How can he create the creature? And give it freedom of choice, give it the ability to be like him, believe him in everything. On the condition that the creature will be a creature, opposite the creator. Opposite the creator means that he will be in the forces of reception, think only of himself. Whereas the creator is the opposite, thinks only of the other. So here's the question, how can the creator create the creature with those opposite qualities on the one hand, according to his desire, it's opposite the Creator. On the other hand, according to the intention, it is similar to the Creator. How can we even come to the correction of the creature? To come to a connection that you trust 100%. He comes and runs everything as if the creator is not there. The creature decides everything. My sons have defeated me. So, therefore, there's a thing, and it's opposite. On the one hand, the creature has to have a very big desire to receive, very big. And then he will be opposite the Creator and far from the Creator. Can you make me higher or I'll stop talking? I don't know what you're doing there, but I have a problem with you today. For hours.
So
the creature has to be opposite the Creator from the outset, on the one hand. On the other hand, it needs to resemble the Creator. How do you do that? So it turns out that we have to combine two things together. How can you do it? We call it Bina and Malchut. Because Malchut is the quality of reception, Bina is the quality of bestowal. How can they be together? That's why the Creator arranges things according to the laws of His creation. He cannot break them, He cannot change anything. The conditions are extremely rigid. You have a Creator, and you have opposite of Him, you have the creature, and that's it. And the connection and the influence of the Creator on the creature is seemingly owing to creating the creature opposite of the Creator, which is called Bria, Bar, outside of the Creator. Other than that, it doesn't work on him. Nowhere, except for that point of creation, he does not work. Yeah, we say, yeah, the Creator is everywhere. He is in ruling. He determines everything. It's incorrect. It's incorrect. Rather, he set such laws or such rules that work in creation. He determined them in advance as working out of the oppositeness between the creature and the Creator. And the oppositeness is such that the creature is from the beginning included, integrated, incorporated of two opposite forces working in him. His desire is a desire to receive, and the light in him is the Creator's will to bestow. And when these two things are working in the creature, they can take him anywhere until the end of correction. Now, what's happening here? When these two opposing forces in the creature, how are they working? So they do it like that. On the one hand, you have the will to receive in order to bestow, which is Galgalta. Will to bestow in order to, will to receive in order to bestow, which is Ab. Will to bestow in order to bestow, which is Sag. You have an integration, incorporation of all those desires, itkalelut, and then from that you get a partsuf that includes Bina and Malchut. A will to receive and a will to bestow. But they cannot be together. They're not together. This partsuf is divided in half. On the parsa, it divides into the upper half, which is Bina, and the lower half, which is Malchut. Now the question is, it's clear to us where there's the quality of the Creator above the parsa, where we have the quality of the creature below the parsa. How can we now correct the creature to become like the Creator? That's what we're talking about. What do we have to do? How to introduce the quality of the Creator into the quality of the creature. This is done through the shattering of the vessels. How does it happen? They make a calculation as if they can receive in order to bestow, and they make a mistake. They can't. And then the qualities of the Creator fall into the creature, and from that, the creature becomes a klipa, a shell, because it wants to be in order to receive, whereas before it was not in that state. The will to receive, in order to receive, materializes in the creature specifically when the qualities of the Creator have entered it. Now we have a problem. How do we distinguish between the qualities of the Creator and the qualities of the creature? This happens by the scrutinies in the worlds of Bia. And after all that, we come to correction. But this point, where there's an integration, a cooperation between the qualities of the Creator and the qualities of the creature, in the Parsa, it's exactly the point, the important point that's characteristic of all of creation.
What you just explained, where is that point where you told us that there's death first and... No, that's afterwards.
No, in the diagram you drew, where is it? Where's that point where you have to reach such a level where he can break through? Specifically in the lowering of the will to receive, seemingly dead death, it can break through, break out in the study of the Sefirot. Where's that point?
I didn't understand what he asks. Oh, and did you understand?
You spoke earlier about the point of putting oneself to death. He's asking, where is it in the diagram, the schematic drawing of the worlds?
In each and every spiritual potsuf that was established after the shattering, that it cannot be a potsuf, resemble the Creator, if its will to receive doesn't decide that I'm better off dead, if I cannot bestow. That's all.
No, Ashdod.
Well, Ashdod or Ashkelon.
Ashkelon.
What is that special force in Bina that can maintain the second restriction?
Bina is a force of bestowal. So, Bina is a force of bestowal, and therefore it holds the Tzimtzum, and it only wants to have it to be in its quality. And its quality is to only be in order to bestow in order to bestow.
This is also the point where in future there will be a point of where the Sag can pass all the months to himself.
That's in the future, after the second restriction, right? Okay, I see Guadalajara is with us. Abraham, how's it going? They cannot hear us? Such a delay? It's far, but that far? Okay. We have Jerusalem. Yeah.
Who gets it more difficult in second restriction? Malchut or Bina?
Ah, I see now they responded. All right. Jerusalem, yeah.
Who has it more difficult in the second restriction? Malchut or Bina?
For whom it's more difficult? Malchut or Bina? Look at these questions. Well, second restriction, first of all, we see that Bina seemingly restricts, but it's actually Malchut that is restricted. And it's the action of Bina in Malchut that happens. And so there's no issue with difficulty. There's difficulty of restricting oneself in Katnut versus Gadlut, and Gadlut versus Katnut. It's another question? Okay, yeah.
What came first? The new Siyum, the new ending, and the second restriction, or the Zivug of Bina in the Rosh of Sag? What came first?
Again?
What came first? Second restriction with the new Siyum, or the Zivug of Bina in Rosh of Sag?
First of all is Tzimtzum Bet, and then the Reshimot from Tzimtzum Bet rise to the Rosh of Sag and cause the Zivug in Nikve and Naim of Sag.
How can the light come up without a decision in the Rosh?
There was a decision in the Rosh to expand below the Dabur of the Rosh of Sag. This is called that the Nekudot of Sag expanded below, and then there was a connection between Nehi of Ak, which is Galgalta, with the Nekudot of Sag that descended below. And then Nehi of Ak influenced Nekudot of Sag, and Nekudot of Sag were restricted. That restriction is influenced the Reshimot that that came from the Nikve Naim to the Peh of Rosh of Sag, and then they were included in the Zivug of Nikve Naim, and from the Zivug of Nikve Naim of Rosh of Sag came the expansion of the world of Nikudim. So you're asking, how can it be that someone determines for the Rosh? Of course it's so. The Reshimot that rise to the Rosh of Sag, they determine how the Rosh of Sag will behave.
Yeah, but here it was seemingly as if light was coming out, and then only the Rosh of Sag is doing something. First, there was the restriction, and only later
there was a Tzimtzum, and the Reshimot rose from below the Tabur, the general Tabur, to the Rosh of Sag. And the Rosh of Sag, according to the Reshimot, brought its Masach from Peh to Nikve Naim, and then there was a Zivug in Nikve Naim that brought the expansion of the world of Nikudim below the Tabur.
Another question? How come the world of Nikudim is called Ma'avak?
The world of Nikudim is called Ma'avak for several reasons. He gives an explanation for that. Because first of all, it covers, it clothes the Nehi of Ak below. And it comes after Galgalta Absag to be the true Ma. It's not the upper Ma and upper Bon. The true Ma is the Malchut that can receive in order to bestow. The upper Ma cannot do this. That's sort of the case.
Sag is a Partsuf that has many new things in it with respect to its actions.
Sag is basically the Bina between Malchut and Keter. It includes both the qualities of Keter and Malchut. That's why it is entirely, it's like a junction. Let's call it a junction.
Where is the Tanta of Sag? It's like in every place there are different elements, but it's not this organized Tanta.
You understand what Ta'amim is, right? The Sag that expands from the Peh to the Tabur, that's Ta'amim. Okay, good. When it came to the Tabur, it cannot expand more because of what? First restriction, there's everywhere. Why cannot expand below the Tabur?
We don't touch Dalet since the purification of Golgalta.
Because it contains Gimel of Itlabshut. Ta'amim of Sag is Gimel Bet. Gimel refers to the illumination of Chokhmah, and it cannot go below the Tabu. That's why Ta'amim of Sag end at the Tabu. Then begin the Nekudot of Sag. When Nekudot of Sag begin, then the Gimel of Itlabshut disappears already. And then the Masach rises from the general Tabur to the Peh of Rosh of Sag. Now, throughout the whole path of the rising of the Masach, there are couplings of strikings. And then from these couplings, the Patsufim of Nekudot of Sag expand below. They're called Nekudot, and you can say Nekudot is from above, from below upwards. Why do you say they come from above downwards? This is what you want to ask, Niv, right? No? Okay. So, yes, they do expand from above downwards, and that's because they emerge with the masach from above downwards, from the tabu to the pe. And so they expand this way, and it is the nekudot of sag. It's actually many patsufim that expand besides the first one, where that disappears, the gimel of itlapshut. So, dalet gimel bet alef shoresh, they all expand below, and these patsufim clothe the nehiyavak. And then, as a result, there is connection with the general malchut, which is nehiyavak, that's the general malchut, and clean bina is nekudot of sag, and that gives you connection between bina and malchut. And that provides a whole new process where you have a place, first of all, below the tabu, where the qualities of the Creator and the qualities of the created being face each other. Now the question is, how can they influence each other? They can. The Kudot of Sag don't want to receive anything, they only want to bestow. Nehiyavak, they're the will to receive, but they don't want to receive now, they only want to bestow, because they are below the Masach, right? So they don't receive any light. They're empty. They're empty, and then there is proximity between both. The Nekudot of Sag want to bestow, and they can. The Nehiyavak want to bestow because of their Masach, but they cannot. They're empty of bestowal. And so it turns out Nekudot of Sag can now bestow to Nehiyavak, and they add their illumination of chassadim to that place. And as a result, all sorts of qualities awaken there, and the malchut begins to wake up. Ah, they want to bestow. Great, bestow to me. And she awakens, and she then restricts nekudot of sag. And that is something very interesting, that if not for the awakening of the malchut, the second restriction would not have happened. We'll talk about that later. There's more details.
And the tagin and otiot of sag.
Ah, he's stubborn. Okay, so tagin and otiot. There are reshimot from the tamim. That's tagin, and reshimot from the nekudot is otiot, letters. But we don't take them into account. You're right for asking, where are they? We don't talk about them, because we now have a much more important new issue at hand. The Nekudot of Sag, the Malchut of Enbina, that's what the whole purpose of creation depends on, the whole general correction. So, what do we get from the Tanta of Sag? The main thing is that this Sag can influence the Malchut and give her the power of correction.
But Otiot is what remains out of the impression from the action.
Right.
And that's what gives the ability to continue, the Otiot. Everything is based on the Otiot, no?
Okay, we're going to have to go deeper into that. Otiot of Sag are felt in Yeshsut, that exists above the Tabu, as a result, as the connector between Sag and the world of Nikudim. This is truly... You're right. We haven't learned that. It's a wonder. This swimmer, you know, his head is like a fish. And he asks these questions. Weird. It's weird. Yes, Danny.
I wanted to ask, following what you explained to Tzvika, You seemingly describe the problem that concerns the opposition between the creator and the creature. But there cannot be a creator without the creature, meaning there cannot be a revelation in any other way except through opposition, as light excels from darkness. And the revelation becomes through the relationship between the creator and the creature, which is the screen. So what does it mean, a corrected clay? There's no more screen?
On the contrary, the corrected kli is that it has complete oppositeness, 100%, and they exist together. The darkness shines as light. The will to receive with the masach activates his entire aviyut and becomes zach, pure, like the light.
This is called the end of correction.
This is called the end of correction, when the intentions over the will to receive raise the will to receive to in order to bestow, and it becomes like the light. This is called the darkness shines as light.
And then the screen disappears?
How? How can that be? It never done disappears.
So what does it mean to return to its root? It will never return to what it was.
No, the will to receive remains a will to receive.
It's not changing.
No, it won't. The Creator created it, and that's it. But the will to receive, through its integration with the light, acquires the quality of bestowal, and that's called the intention. Yes.
How come Nehi of Ak is not impressed by all the zivugim above the Tabu?
Nehi de Ak cannot do it. They are a result of these zivugim, where the Malchut of Rosh of Ak, which decides for the Partsuf, it decides where it has Rosh and Doch and Sof, and so in that way, it arranges the Partsuf, and when it arranges the Partsuf, it controls the Partsuf. Yeah.
Why the Nehi of Ak specifically get impressed by vessels of bestowal?
Anyone can bestow if it has the power, if it has the ability, if it adds, if it's not opposite to the Partsuf itself. Nehi of Ak want to bestow, they just don't have the power. They are in very small light of chasadim, and if a greater force of bestowal comes, on the contrary, then maybe at some point they'll be able to receive in order to bestow thanks to that.
Trying to clarify, what's the difference between light, we say direct light that strikes on the screen, and its influence on the vessels, and vessels that influence one another? What's the difference in bestowal from one to the other? Well, Nehi of Ak gets awakened from vessels of bestowal that get mixed with it.
Can someone help him? Repeat.
Direct light hits the screen of Pevosh.
Where?
In all the Patsufim of Adam Kadmon.
Right.
How come Nehi of Ak don't receive an awakening?
How can it be that if something happens in any Patsuf, how part of the Patsuf of Nehi of Ak can receive an awakening from that? They do, but that awakening is passing it forward. Any Patsuf after Galgalta, when it takes a certain assignment with the upper light, it passes its Reshimot through all the Patsufim and through Ak, through Galgalta, to Malchut Ven Sof. Malchut Ven Sof does the action, and from there onwards, all the Partsufim descend. And so, of course, they are also in Nehi of Ak. But for him, it's called clothing that he dresses in.
Nekudot of Sag descend to Nehi of Ak. What happens then?
Nekudot of Sag fill Nehi of Ak. It's not limited by anything. It has light of chassadim. It's not opposite to Nehiyavak. Because Nehiyavak reject chokhmah, and light of chassadim for them is not an opposite thing. They are essentially doing the same task. And so, nekudot of sag, which fill the Nehiyavak with chassadim, they awaken, and so they influence Nekudot of Sag in return. There is a certain equivalence between them, certain connection. And then, when Prina Dalet influences Prina Bet, it necessitates Nekudot of Sag to be restricted, to restrict itself. And that creates the boundary between Galgalta Naim of Nekudot of Sag and Achap of Nekudot of Sag, and that's called the Parsa. Yeah, all right. You wanted to ask for a long time.
Rav, the concluding Malchut, we're talking about the Zaris that cannot be used.
The Malchut that ends the Partsuf means no more can be used.
So now the ending was the point of this world, and as a result of this mitigation, it rises to Bina, to Tiferet.
Right, that's why it's called Tzimtzum.
The ascent of such desires, what does it mean, Rav? Can you say something about it?
What ascent? The Malchut that rose to Bina of Guf?
Yeah, rises to Bina of Guf. What rises?
That you cannot use desires below the Malchut, below the Parsa. These desires cannot receive in order to bestow. They cannot be used. There's only an ability in them to hold on somewhat to the light of Chassadim, and that's it.
From this ascent to Bina, it begins to notice that they cannot use these desires?
Right. There is Tzimtzum. This place is a place for the worlds of Bia, and these worlds are the worlds of the broken vessels.
So it's considered an ascent from the desire's perspective.
The desire ascends, the masach rises, etc. Yeah.
Now in the second action, it happens that Bina rises from Pet to Nikve Enayim. What does it add here? Connection towards the Keter? Toward the Creator, the Emanator? Is there an addition that works here?
Each and every action is an addition, whether it's in lights or vessels.
So these are discrete actions?
How are you asking about things that are so clear? How? What do you mean separate? No connection? How can there be no connection between the actions?
There's a connection, there's a cause and consequence, but there's no connection between them.
I don't understand what this is. You're inventing all kinds of definitions that I don't know how to answer. Alright, we will learn. I see that some people are under the influence of the holiday and we suddenly went to something didactic. So, what are we doing? Song. Alright, a song. Yeah.